Hello, everybody. And this is the externalization of the hierarchy series, program 73. And the day is June the 10th, 2020, and we're on page 575, and we are beginning a new subject. Approach via certain ashrams. Students must not proceed on the assumption that in the process of externalization, there is a general moving forward of the entire hierarchy onto the physical plane. Such is not the case. The whole effort is as yet, and will be for some time, experimental, and only a few of the ashrams and a certain number of the trained disciples and initiates will be involved at first. So let us keep this incrementalism in mind, because, you know, the hierarchy never undertakes that which is immediately doomed to failure. You can't do everything at once, and humanity does not have the absorptive power to withstand the entire, the appearance of the entire hierarchy. It still remains to be proved how ready humanity is for this attempt. Exactly. So the hierarchy, a very Aquarian body, functioning under Uranus, is constantly making experiments to see how they work out. So this is the key thought, that it is up to us to respond in a certain way as humanity, and if it's the right way, the experiment can be continued, can be enlarged, you know, can be expanded. The Christian concept of the return of a triumphant Christ coming in the clouds of heaven to Jerusalem, there to reign for 1,000 years, is true in one way, and utterly false as to design, location, and method. So this is what's going to be hard to assimilate for the average believing Christian, for those who hold the Christian dogma more loosely, maybe easier to assimilate. Christ will return. The Jerusalem referred to, literally the place of peace, is not the chief city of a small country called Palestine or the Holy Land. The word is simply symbolic of a peaceful world. And we know that a certain amount of peace has to be achieved before, let me get myself a little more oriented here, a certain amount of peace to be measured by the Christ, as he knows how much will suffice, has to be in place before he can return. So he returns to a peaceful world, to a degree peaceful, at least not filled with constant wars. A world which, though through its own self-initiated efforts, has attained a general quietude and has acquired a certain measure of right human relations, as exemplified by the factor of sharing. There too, we don't know how much sharing, but the tendency towards sharing between people, peoples, groups, and nations must be established. So the word is simply regarding peace, symbolic of a peaceful world. Now we have, I would say, minimum of 100 years to produce that. And when the Piscean sixth ray influence has been removed, well, then the opening may be there. But we don't know. We cannot run around saying, lo here, lo there. That's not our business. Our business is something other, to prepare right human relations as much as may be possible. And that's how we really, really can work, if we keep that in mind. His coming in the air might be interpreted literally to mean that at the right time, he will come by plane from the place on earth where he has been for many generations, watching over the sons of men. The words, every eye shall see him, might mean that by the time he comes, television will have been perfected. Well, it already is in that respect. And he will then be seen by its means from even the most distant spot on earth. So these are reasonable explanations of prophecies which seem fantastical to the more moderate mind, the less believing mind. To the Orthodox Christian, the above will sound like the rankest blasphemy. You know, to go against the scriptures is to blaspheme. And in fact, but the question immediately arises, okay, so, you know, and they will put you to death for blasphemy in some religions because they're so insecure, you know, that if you challenge the scripture, it may weaken the resolve of other believers, which would weaken the power of those who are supported by the believers. Why should it be blasphemy for him to use modern methods? Why should it be blasphemy for him? Whilst on earth before, he conformed to the customs of his time. Riding on the clouds of heaven may sound more picturesque and apparently require a greater expression of divinity, but why use such a means when a plane will equally well fulfill the purpose and carry the prophecy to completion? Well, that's the, people do love the supernatural, the fantastical, the awe-inspiring. And of course, what the Christ is awe-inspiring, but people have to have the right reason to be inspired. And according to the law of economy, it would make sense for him to begin to demonstrate his sanctified normality, the sign of every true initiate, regardless of how much he has attained. He is still a member of the human race, the eldest of a great family of brothers. He is a human monad, one of the so-called initiates. That's the name of that fourth creative hierarchy or ninth creative hierarchy, depending on how you're counting. That's our hierarchy. A great deal of reactionary stupidity will have to be eliminated before he can come. And it will be as the new generation assert their hold over human thinking. And it will be then. But it is not the event or the stage of Christ's appearing with which we are now dealing, but with the preparatory stages and with the task of fitting world, which means in this case, preparing human consciousness for the presence in physical activity and manifestation of the hierarchy in full force and with its esoteric equipment. Let's just say, you know, what a hopeful statement. And this is back 74, 75 years ago. So much hope here expressed. And if we will just be sane in our expectations and help those with a tendency to inflationary insanity to think in a more normal and logical way, we will be doing something of value to facilitate humanity's acceptance of the great Lord when he makes his appearance. Of course, he won't make his appearance if he judges that the type of reception he will receive is doomed to failure from the beginning. A great deal of reactionary stupidity will have to be eliminated before he can come. And that is, the human side of Christ. Churchmen, of course, do attest or confirm or believe that he is human as well as divine, but so are we all. So the exclusive hold which Christ seems to have in the minds of some as being the only Son of God, and well, you know, it just doesn't add up, does it? This will have to be explained in the light of the great ageless wisdom, the secret doctrine of the ages. All right. In the early stages, the task of preparation is arduous and difficult. Things will be relatively easy for the senior members of the hierarchy when they find the right time for their appearance. Senior members, you know, and are we talking about masters and chohans, that kind of thing? In the meantime, the world disciples have to take the world as it is at this time and slowly and laboriously instill the new ideas, incite to better methods of human relations, help dissipate the aftermath of war, and we still live in a competitive, conflicted world, and hold before the eyes of distraught humanity, distraught after an unthinkable war in many respects. Hold the eyes of distraught humanity, hold before their eyes the new vision of hope and of spiritual enlightenment, and offset the scheming of reactionary and conservative politicians and churchmen. This is again the recrudescence of the third ray. And we have to remember, I don't know how many religions have their personality ruled by the third ray, but he gives the rays of the Catholic Church as it was then, at least, as the first ray soul, third ray personality. That's the scheming element and the worldliness, the sixth ray mind, the sixth ray astral, and the ritualistic seventh ray physical. So, and teach the youth of the age, the new modes of living, indicating to them the better values, and thus slowly and gradually bringing in the new order. Now, this is the difficult work which the disciples of that time were engaged in, and we too, it hasn't changed, we're engaged in this arduous and difficult work. Among the seven major ashrams and their subsidiary and affiliated ashrams, you know, that the example of that is especially held before our eyes with regard to the secondary ashram, the second great ray ashram, which is just about complete, at least in the presence of the subsidiary ashrams. Maybe their full development is not with us, but at least they exist. So among the seven major ashrams and their subsidiary and affiliated ashrams, only a few have undertaken to send their disciples and their initiates at this time to carry out this initiatory work. And, you know, maybe you will find yourself here among those who have been sent forth. The three major ashrams thus engaged are the ashram of Master K.H. Kutumi. This is the secondary ashram, and with that of the Master M, the most powerful in the hierarchy. It controls the building forces and really is most responsible for preparing the way for the reappearance of the Christ. That's that ashram. And if you're affiliated with Master DK, then you are, in a sense, affiliated with Master KH, who is, in a sense, the master of Master DK. On the other hand, the Christ has said, or rather, DK has said that the Christ is his master, which is interesting. Both are in that relationship, and the Christ being the higher master, the master as well of Master KH as of the Tibetan. Then there's the first ray ashram, that of Master M, Moria. He is the custodian of the principle of synthesis, the work of which is that of organic fusion. Not organizational compression, you know, forcing people to work together. No, it's based upon the true spiritual tendency. And this is ever needed to supplement that of the building agents. So, you know, they've been working together for a long time and have been, we're told, married many times and co-workers many times over the expanse of their spiritual phase of development. So these are very powerful ashrams, and maybe the most powerful right now. Okay. Then the ashram of the master on the fifth ray. And I guess he means the Chohan, and maybe we would be talking about St. Paul or Master Hilarion, really, the Chohan Hilarion. The ashram of a master on the fifth ray, well, you know, that's a little ambiguous there. The ashram of a master on the fifth ray, is it subsidiary to the great fifth ray ashram? The custodian, among other things, of science, and among other things, note as well, because they are involved in proving reincarnation a fact. That's one of their modes of service when they come out. Okay, so anyway, among other things, of science and of that which relates and brings into expression the duality of spirit matter. This ashram has an important part to play in the work of preparation, for it is through the scientific use of energy that the world will be rebuilt. So forces of reconstruction and the factual nature of hierarchy be proved. Because right now, you know, people think of it as simply a dream that such an august body exists. So anyway, whether this is the major ashram of Master Hilarion or a subsidiary ashram there, he doesn't name the master, right? So Master Hilarion is a Chohan now, it would seem, and is in control of the fifth ray ashram, the major ray ashram, but maybe DK is talking about a different kind of master. And yet, when you look at the schools as they will be emerging, he speaks of the Southern Indian school, of the Eastern fourth root race school. He speaks of the Trans-Himalayan school, and all of which have or are in the process of emerging, but not yet formulated is the Occidental sixth root race school, which involves Master Hilarion and Master R. So you begin to think that maybe they really are among the externalizing masters. How we relate to the masters and in a sane, cooperative manner is such an important cultivation. You know, there's been all kinds of things, all kinds of approaches that DK basically calls a cheap travesty or comedy, and they involve abnormal approaches altogether. And I'm sure that such approaches have horrified more than one master. They don't need everybody to be yelling out, hail this and hail that. You know, they need active, helpful, cooperative work in bettering the lot of humanity. Through the pressure of education, now one type of education, of course, is the second ray approach. Through the growth of the concept of synthesis, we have, you know, the one world and I think the emerging one world government, and through the correct use of energy. Now that's very interesting. I mastered energy. Energy itself I am. You know, let me just go somewhere here. And I think I'd like to keep handy this wonderful statement of, quote, I mastered energy. There are three different places where it appears. And let's see if I'm correct on this. Let's see if I'm correct. And I'll do my best here to talk about the fifth ray from a very esoteric point of view. Let the three forms of energy electric pass upward to the place of power. Let the forces of the head and heart and all the nether aspects blend. Then let the soul look out upon the inner world of light divine. There's such luminosity in this ray and in this ashram. Let the word triumphant go forth, I mastered energy, for I am energy itself. The master and the mastered are but one. That's a beautiful statement. And then when you kind of think of approaches of the first ray and second ray ashram, these statements would make sense, I think. First ray, let the forces, capital F, come together. Let them mount to the high place. Probably, you know, having to do with the crown center. And from that lofty eminence, let the soul look out upon a world destroyed, oblivious to form, and can survive well without form, always trying to make the form fit. Let the soul look out upon a world destroyed. Let the word go forth. I will persist. And in other places it says, I still persist. And the second ray, this will tell us something about the emergence of the second ray ashram. Let all the life be drawn to the center and enter into the heart of love divine. Then, from that point of sentient life, let the soul realize the consciousness of God. Let the word go forth, reverberating through the silence, naught is but me. So, you know, you probably find, I do, I find them very inspiring, very inspiring. So, correct use of energy. So education, okay? Education. And and let's, you know, get those three in front of ourselves. Although, when you look at the methods of teaching, the third and the fifth ray are also associated with education, and especially the fifth ray with our modern educational institutions. Then we have the concept of synthesis for the first ray, but notice that the second ray is placed first. And then the correct use of energy. I wish I had an orange highlighter here, but I do not. And I'll just do it in yellow, since it's sometimes considered one of the colors of the fifth ray, along with fourth. Yeah, well, there are as many colors as there are, and that's that. So, the world will be brought into a condition of preparedness. And a condition of preparedness for the externalization of the hierarchy. Now, probably we know where we're working. We may be, so many of us are educators one way or another, and maybe into adult education or continuing education. Others of us are involved in promoting a world synthesis which is built upon the harmony between nations. And some of us may be scientists, okay? And following what is really energetically interesting and new and supportive of the end of hard labor that it has taken to live in this world. Labor saving devices, and why? Because when labor is saved, it can be turned towards the cultivation of the inner life. And that's what we really want to do. And that's what's coming, you know, after the squaring off between the resistant reactionary forces and those which are progressive. The efforts, we're going on now, the efforts of the disciples coming from the ashram of KH will be largely directed to the general public, but they will work primarily through educators in all countries and through those concerned with the teaching of religion. I think, you know, many of us find ourselves there. Educators touch those preparing for all types of activity. The task will be necessarily slow, particularly at first, but the secondary endowment of these disciples, as that of all disciples on this ray, is a steady, persistent resistance, which brooks no discouragement, even when discouragement makes its appearance. Such disciples refuse to discontinue their effort or to change the spiritually oriented plans, even when the obstacles to accomplishment seem insuperable. Now, isn't that an encouraging word for those of us who are on that ray? He says they work with no let up or leeway, and they have a great persistence rather than the ability to, first ray ability to crash through obstacles. So, yes. So even in the face of discouragement, or what would normally produce discouragement, they persist. It's the ray of the Christ, it's the soul ray of the planet, our planet, soul ray of Jupiter too, and it's the soul ray of our solar logos. Disciples will come deliberately into incarnation and will take office in institutions of higher learning and in the churches, and will exert such pressure that old and obsolete methods, ancient, outworn theologies, you know, in the Abrahamic religions, there are three, and selfish and competitive techniques will be ended, and the science of cooperation, note that, of right human relations and of correct adjustment to life through meditation and right vision will supersede the present methods of learning, and this will lead to what? This will lead to no damage to the acquisition of academic knowledge or the right appearance of spiritual truth. This is, I mean, he is going on and on here about the second ray. I guess if I were to put it in the indigo color, it's a little hard to see perhaps, but boy, that is the color we're talking about here. So directed towards the general public, but also in the training of other disciples who will be training still others. The smaller groups are found among the second ray, perhaps, at least at first, and maybe larger expansion when the third ray comes forward with its distributive methods, working primarily through the educators. It's the forces of enlightenment are very, very strong here, and the patience to carry through will exist, even though progress will seem necessarily slow. Steady persistence, which brooks no interference, even when discouragement makes its appearance. Okay, so I'm going to make that even, you know, brighter. And let's do that so it stands out. Well, you know, maybe we will recognize ourselves in this. Vision is involved here. I see the greatest light, you know, is a word of power. And vision of the future. Jupiter is a planet of vision with its second ray soul. The vision will be different, and the goals of a higher order. But the best that is now taught along the lines of art, religion, science will still be available. They will, however, be presented with a greater enlightenment and a better emphasis. So these people will be active in many areas of education, depending upon their other rays, and they will broaden the contemplation, broaden the consideration, at least, of the students. Okay, they will meet the people's needs. The churches being today headed towards failure and lacking vision will eventually and inevitably crash upon the rocks of unwarranted and abused authority. Well, it's already happening. Yet out of the wreckage will emerge those true and spiritually enlightened churchmen who, with vision and sure knowledge, free from dogmatism and hating ecclesiastical authority, will develop the new world religion. So, you know, just as democracy is a great second ray form of government, demos, the people, you know, so will the second ray externalizing ashram bring the needed light to so many of, well, not only intelligent humanity, but those who are on their way sensing better possibilities ahead. It's a beautiful vision, and of course, it's very resonant with the Central Department of Hierarchy under the guidance of the Christ. It's the most important, or it is dominant, really, when you consider what's trying to happen on our planet, the reappearance of that great second-ray body hierarchy and the coming of the great second-ray avatar, the Lord Maitreya, the Christ. Now, paralleling these activities, and disciples on this ray are already taking the needed steps, will come that of the disciples and initiates who are working under the direction of Master M. You know, just as Kutumi and Master M worked in the closest cooperation, so these groups of disciples can also work in the closest cooperation once they begin to really recognize each other and the need for each other. Their work lies in the field of right human relations, you know, the will to good, and as it works through goodwill, which is love in action, and goodwill promotes right human relations. Their work lies in the field of right human relations and in the production of that synthesis of effort, which will create a new intuitional consciousness and consequently a changing political consciousness and situation in which the family of nations will stand together for certain basic values, and these are fundamentally three in number. So let's make sure we understand that and how it is going to supplement the educational work, producing a synthesis of effort which will create a new intuitional consciousness. Well, you know, synthesis can be beautifully articulated. It can bring together with love and with economical use of energy, right use of energy. It really can synthesize, you know, can bring all the rays together into a mutually supportive relationship, which will be of benefit to everybody. So, you know, in the beginning, the rays are so apparently differentiated from each other, and it says that the rays hate and kill each other in the beginning, you know, at the base of the mountain. But the higher the representatives of those rays climb, the more they see the need for each other. I'm reminded how DK says, well, it may not have X or Y, you know, in terms of scientific knowledge, but he knows a brother on the fifth ray who can supplement and give him what he needs. So all the rays and the ray representatives learn how to work with each other in a way that supplements the work of each. So a changing political consciousness, we certainly need that. Right now in 2020, I don't know when you're going to reach this point in this book, but we're talking about the reformation of a brutal authoritarian police presence in many cities. Of course, there are some wonderful police men and women, and they are upholding the law. But, you know, the discussion is about reform. And increasingly, with Uranus being so important in relation to Aquarius, the discussion will be about reform. That's what the Uranian planet is. Saturn guards the structure and the orthodoxy, and Uranus comes along and reforms that structure so it is closer to the intended archetype. So certain basic values, okay? The family of nations will stand for certain basic values. Okay, and that's what we want to see what they are. Family of nations will stand for certain basic values. And when those values are held in common, we will be much closer to the synthesis of effort, as he describes it. And all human beings will be the beneficiaries of the energy released through that type of mutually supportive effort. So, what are these values? And, you know, we're going to... Okay, the freedom of the individual. These freedoms have been voiced for us in the words of that great first ray disciple, Franklin D. Roosevelt. They are the four essential freedoms, speech, religion, want, and fear. Freedom of speech is being fought out now. Freedom of worship, you know, it's you can approach whatever you think God is in your own way. Freedom from crippling, unmet necessity, your needs are not met. And freedom from the weaponry that mankind has developed and the use of it against general populations. So disarmament comes into the picture. It's so interesting to see how Master DK evaluates various characters in our history. He speaks of Roosevelt as a great disciple. Churchill, of course, you know, is an admirable man and heroic in his own way, and DK doesn't speak of him so much as Roosevelt. When it comes to Gandhi, he's much admired for his nonviolent approach, but he found himself, at least according to the statements of the masters, in the unenviable position of standing in the way of the defeat of the forces of materialism, because, you know, he would not maybe choose sides, something of that nature. And remember, India had been dominated for so many years by England, and so maybe it was difficult to support the side that the English were on. But, you know, Martin Luther King, he derived great inspiration from Gandhi, and I don't know, maybe Nelson Mandela did also. I mean, Gandhi worked quite a bit in Africa before achieving or helping to achieve the independence of India from Britain. Well, their perspectives are different than ours. And, you know, it's interesting to see what they are. So freedom of the individual, okay. Right international interplay necessitating finally the abolition of war. Well, that's the freedom from fear part. You know, when you have an army at your border and then it marches into your country, the fear aroused is considerable, and it was sustained throughout the Second World War, and DK even worried lest the war go on too long and completely enervate humanity. And, you know, there's nothing more enervating and debilitating than fear. What's this third value we have here that has to be promoted? The certain fundamental values in the changing political consciousness. You know, I can emphasize a little more through the size of things here. What's the third one? If only my computer would follow my directions. Number three, clean political regimes, free from graft, selfish ambition, and dirty political maneuvering. Well, both the church and the political systems are still in the need of cleaning house. Some of it has at least been exposed, much remains. Now, we remember that the Christ cannot reappear before there is the general house cleaning of the political and church groups, before there is a measure of peace, which would be in line with the abolition of war. And one other factor, the factor of sharing. It's not so much mentioned here, but when these things are operating, it's easier to promote sharing. Although sharing is fundamental to achieving the peace, and it is an example of the elimination of greed from the political arena, and also even from the church arena. You know, the churches can be very material, and the churches which promise material advantage and say in a Calvinistic way that financial success indicates that one is loved by God, they find quite an adherence, so materialistic at this time still, is humanity. So, but that is coming, and the atomic bomb, horrible as it was on the form, the Tibetan tells us it struck the death blow to materialism. And now we've learned that matter and energy really are equivalent with the Einsteinian formula. And we've seen how it can be put to use negatively and also increasingly positively in the generation of the energies which will release humanity from the condemnation of hard labor. I mean, if you're going to labor, maybe the time to labor on the physical plane strictly for material purposes is over, and the labor can be transferred to the psychological and spiritual realm. We'll never succeed without hard labor, but the time-consuming labor which is directed towards the matter situation inherited from the previous solar system is not what advancing human beings should be consumed by. Okay. In the achievement of these ends, and only major issues will be considered, leaving the lesser and unimportant effects to be dealt with later, you know, cleaning up politics, ending war, bringing peace, and freeing the human being, you know, through certain rights, R-I-G-H-T-S, and through education. When these ends have been achieved, the disciples of synthesis and the instigators of right political relationships will work in close cooperation with the disciples on the second ray, whose task is to educate the general public in the true values. Now, I must say, and don't you think it is so, I think it's so, that the ageless wisdom is filled with and built upon the truer values. And if we could have the compassionate and progressive values of the ageless wisdom, and they could be shared by the majority of humanity, we would have gone far. So we educators, whether we speak in strictly occult terms or speak that way to some and more generally to others, have this educative task of truer values, and we have to instilling truer values, and we have to learn how to set an example ourselves by the performance of actions which are characterized by the truer values. A trained and enlightened public, we don't have that yet, okay, shouldering right responsibility will elect only those men whose vision is in line with the new ethics, the new science of right human relations, note science again, and who recognize as a basic political tenet the equality of all men, an equality founded on a universal and basic divinity. You know, according to the monad, all monads are essentially equal in being, not necessarily in attainment in the different spheres of the cosmic physical plane. And of course, each plane is a sphere. Does it rotate from east to west? Is that it? And each ray is also a sphere, rotating from north to south. Very interesting about that. So we don't have that enlightened public opinion. And the first thing a demagogue does is attack the possibility of being exposed for what he is. So he attacks the press. He attacks the reporters, you know, the people who try to, well, not all do, but try to tell it as it is and don't leave any stone unturned in reporting, whether the demagogue likes it or not, the truth of matters. We cannot base the development of a society on falsehood. Allied to the efforts of these two groups of disciples and initiates, two groups, first and second ray, will be those disciples on the fifth ray, whose task it will be to lead mankind into the benefits of the atomic age. And we have certainly entered the atomic age, although some countries seeing how atomic energy is presently utilized have retreated from its use. Now, it will be discovered that there will be a different and better use, maybe through the discovery of a workable nuclear fusion, rather than what we normally call fission. Anyway, DK holds out great promise for the use of atomic energy, and I don't think that retreat from its use is necessarily wise, though at least it can curtail the poisoning, which is possible if we don't know how to handle what we've created in terms of the use of nuclear waste and radioactivity in general. The occultist has ever proclaimed that the field wherein the hierarchy works is that of energy. They have taught that there is nothing in existence but energy in some form or another. Maybe energy is that which moves, really, or has the power of movement. Nothing but energy in some form or another, and that all we see, all with which we daily work, including our own material natures, mental, emotional, and physical, and all that produces phenomena, is energy in relation to forces, or forces as they are directed by energy. Now, these two words are used sometimes interchangeably, but there are special occult ways of understanding them. Forces are very directed, and they are subsidiary. They are targeted. Sometimes we hear of the Shambhala energy, but sometimes when Shambhala is making an impact, we hear of the Shambhala force. So all is energy. I mastered energy. I am energy itself. And that word is a very good word to ponder. You know, there is something dynamic, something in movement, an extension of the great universal logos, or multiple extensions in the emanative field. And those extensions are energies from the great energy. Now, the great energy is the universal logos itself. And then can we discriminate energy from being or beingness? Maybe we could, you know, sometimes even say that the factor of being is essential energy itself. So we have to be careful not to be glib about the use of the word energy, because it is a subtle word, really. And we have to realize that anything tangible, apparently tangible, can be reduced or somehow transformed into a far more fluid and informal state. Are there any forms in energy? There are forms of energy, but if energy is going to be looked at finally as equivalent to essence, energy, essence, being, maybe we can make a case for considering the three together. Now, my wife told me, why don't you make these programs about, 40 minutes long? It'd be easier to deal with. And I used to make programs that were 5 hours long, okay? But I'm kind of sticking to an hour here. And we're on page 579. So if we were to go back to the start of this, this would be 579. And what we would do is copy this and bring it down, and I will continue shortly. I believe I will. I possibly can. It's great to think along with Master DK, you know. It really, it's so enlightening. You know, so it's approximately 1 hour, and well, what'll it be? Probably 4 minutes, something like that. It will be. And basically, it's we're ending here with I think we began at let me just see, is it 571 or is it 575? Yeah, 575. All right, not 571. I just try to get oriented here because sometimes I lose my way, you know. 575 to 579, and we will eliminate this other stuff. And this is on the 10th of June. And we'll continue with program number 74. And we don't know approximately 1 hour next minutes, and it will be 579 to whatever. And by exposing ourselves to the Master's thought, we are greatly enriched in the mind, in our usefulness to the externalization of the planet. So we'll go on, and lots of love to everybody. Many blessings. Have success in your studies and your meditations, and that will translate as success in your usefulness in service. So we're in the middle of the fifth ray here. The first and second ray ashrams work together. The fifth ray ashram is emerging, and we've stopped in the middle of discussing what they do, you know, and how they translate before the human mind tangibility into intangibility, form into formlessness, fixity into free flow. The fifth ray will do all that. Okay. We'll see you soon. Stop recording.